As we look towards the next couple of weeks, we know that we are heavily into this fall season. This past week, it seems like a lot of the leaves have either changed or transformed or things like that. So we know that we are coming up upon Halloween season. In fact, we know because we have our trunk or treat on Halloween, which we are, you know, faithfully getting trunks and candy and all of that for, because Carol has us right where we need to be. And so the plug there is that if you haven't signed up yet, all right, Carol's got you. See her or see the sign-up sheet over there. But one of the things that I heard earlier in this season was that when I was going to do my pastoral duties at Target, okay, I was going, I'm sure, to get like one little thing that we didn't have at the house, and ended up being then more things that you don't need. And so I was walking through, and it was earlier in the season, and so I heard these guys talking, some young adults talking about who they were going to be or what they were going to dress up as for Halloween, and they had to get just to the right outfit, okay? Because there was some party that one of the guys knew that some girl was going to be there, okay? And so they were in this heated debate about what they were going to dress up as, whether it was going to be, one suggestion was one of the characters from the show Bob's Burgers. Another one was like Game of Thrones characters. Like, it was, you know, a kind of a complete mess, it sounded like to me. And then the one guy in question finally said, you know what I can really do? I can dress up like a clown, because it is out, you know, the movie about the Stephen King. And I thought, yeah, there's no better way to win your sweet's desire than dressing up like a creepy clown that personifies evil. But the other guy then that he was talking with, you could tell that he wasn't really into that whole thing. And he goes, man, you'd have to wear a mask all night, and you'd have to do this, and it'd just get hot and sweaty and nasty. And he paused, and he said, but man, you do you. Okay, have you ever heard that phrase before? You do you. You do you, which is kind of like, I don't agree with that, but whatever. You know, in the church world, it's if you pitch an idea to somebody, instead of them saying you do you, they'll go, oh, let me pray on that. Okay? Right? And so that's kind of the equivalent. Oh, bless your heart. That's the one where you know it's a really bad idea. Oh, bless your heart. We'll pray on that. And you know, oh, this is probably a really bad idea. But the idea is that, you know, we have these times and places where we want to be something that maybe we are not. And so those times of mask wearing are something that we do. And so we've been working with our masks, but right now I want you to get your phone out, because we're gonna try one of these other the survey thing that we tried a couple of weeks ago, because I want to interact and see maybe and give a visual with what some of those visuals are. And so if you go to menti.com, okay, and you put in those six digits like we did before, so it's 7-1-1-2-9-7, all right, put that in, hit submit, and then you have three word blanks there. What are some of those masks that you wear? And so for me, while we just kind of talk this out, for me, I like to pretend, or at least try to, present as being a very organized person. I am not really, but that's what I like to do. Or maybe I'm unflustered. I am strong enough to do all the things by myself. And so strength might be one there. And so as we kind of go with this, then just submit those answers, and they should come up. But maybe, there we go. That was mine, right? Brilliant. And so what are some of those things, some of those masks that you wear, that you present to other people? Confidence, it's easy, yeah, nice, calm, right? When on the inside you are raging and have no idea what's happening. Yeah, brilliant. So as you keep going with those, you know, this word cloud paints a pretty awesome picture. And in fact, for the Bishop family who just spent the week as a gift from my parents at Disney, this is kind of the picture that they like to paint for you when you are in the Disney sphere, right? That everything's good, that everything is calm, even when you're waiting in the lines. And it's this wonderful way that you get swept up in everything. I also think that this is a very good vision of the kingdom, that the kingdom has these ethics or these ways in which they would bring out the best in us. But the reality is that this might not necessarily be the life that we live or what we encounter on a daily basis, right? I mean, do you encounter only people that look like that, that look confident and strong and have it all together and a little bit goofy and that they're perfect and humble and normal-ish? Oh, that's a good one. Yes, I love it. Normal-ish, right? I'm just on that line. But sometimes we try on these different masks. Sometimes, you know, wearing different masks are a great way of finding ourselves and self-discovery. And other times they're silly and fun, like for a party. Other times we do that, but what we realize is that maybe those things that we wear get confused sometimes. But then again, sometimes they're silly. And so I had a clip that I want to share with Ben's help in just a minute of The Rock doing a little bit of lip syncing. He was with Jimmy Fallon on another show. But just take a look at sometimes what wearing masks kind of looks like to other people. Ben, could you play that clip for us? So I'll admit that I watched that clip maybe a little too many times, but The Rock does an amazing job of channeling his inner Taylor Swift, right? But the thing is that if he took that mask of Taylor Swift to the movies that he's made, or when he was a WWE entertainer in the ring, it wouldn't work, right? I mean, he had it down, and he like, I don't know how many times Dwayne Johnson was in the mirror practicing for that bit, right? But I am sure that it happened. But the reality is that sometimes those masks that we wear, then we think are our normal operating procedures. And so today, I want to spend some time encouraging you to live beyond your masks and to kind of take that mentality of the you do you and shift it a little bit. And we're going to read through the psalm that we read, and there's diverse voices. And take that phrase of you do you and take it honestly and say you do you because that's who you have been made to be. And so our conversation partner today is King David, who wrote this Psalm 139. And I think that we'll also find that if David was alive today, he'd be a good Methodist, okay? So we're going to try to work with that because we're going to take our Methodist roots and everything else. And so one of the first pieces that we find is that that we see this list and litany of ways in which the author says, essentially, if I go anywhere, God, I can't escape from your spirit. If I go to the highest mountain, you are there. If I go to the depths of the New King James, or the King James Version said, if I go to the depths of hell, you are there too. You know, if I go, you know, from here to there, where can I go from your spirit, God? And David writes this psalm as a people, as seeing an imminent threat coming over, seeing his enemies starting to overwhelm him. And so this psalm is written in a time of trial, a time of friction, and him going, God, you've searched me and know me. You know all the right intentions that I have. And there's a little bit in there that goes, so now smite my enemies, right? But like so many times, Scripture, when we read it in a different context, like reading the creation story outside versus in your office, it strikes you very differently, right? So if we read this in a time not of persecution, but in a time where everything, or at least baseline, things are going kind of well, this psalm kind of changes a little bit. And so the question of where can I go from your spirit, God, we kind of find that like Jonah piece in there, right? When I try to run away from you, you're still there. When I try to wear my masks, God, you're still there. God, when I try to put on and I try to put on my Taylor Swift outfit, when I have been called to be something else, you are still there. And so when we hear that, when we see this in a different light, all of a sudden we kind of turn that piece. The Jewish kind of tradition says that each piece of scripture has 70 faces. And so maybe that one face of being persecuted, like David was writing, you know, but if we turn it a little bit and say, what if that's not the case when we read this? And we hear this with new eyes, maybe the question is, where have we been trying to run from God, a God who knows our heartbeat and pulse so well, right? We try to cover those things up. We try to mask them. Think about after the fall of creation, after Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, what did they do? What was the number one thing they do? They hid, right? And then they put on clothes. They put on a mask. And so God comes traipsing through. Hey, guys, where are you? And asks, why? What are you doing? This wasn't the plan. And then Adam, of course, blames Eve because that's a very male thing to do. But the idea is that we try to put on these masks to hide who we are, even from the one who knows us best, okay? And so the second question then that we have for us today, so get your phones back out, because the next question is then, what are we trying to hide with all of those masks? What are we trying to hide? So there's our word cloud, and here's the next question. You should be able to then advance on that next question on your phone. What are you trying to hide? Okay. Nice. Whoa. There we are. Brilliant. Right. This cloud paints a way different picture, doesn't it, than the ones that we're trying to put forth for everyone? Isn't it interesting? Freakouts. I like that one. Right. Trying to make sure that we have it all together, and not do those things. Anybody see on there words that you connect with that maybe you didn't write? And you go, oh yeah, I'm trying to hide that too. Yeah? And so there are times that we put on these masks and all of a sudden we present those masks as being us. And then sin starts to kind of whisper into our ear like that serpent in the creation story and says, you know what? Your friends only accept you because of the masks that you wear. Your friends only have you in their peer group because of this, that, or the other. Or the things that you pretend to have together. And then it starts to kind of work into your mind and say, well, maybe what if that's the way that God sees me? Could God ever accept me for me instead of the one person that I try to present to other people? And the answer that we find, the answer that we have, I guess, is that to find out that answer, to say, if I give all of myself to God, if I become vulnerable to God and other people, will they be accepted? I guess the way that we find that out is that we come back to this, you do you, because that's who you were meant to be. And so this first part of the psalm then of talking about where can we go from you? Nowhere. So why do we continue to pretend that we can hide or that we can run from the one who created us? And so then we go on to this second part of the psalm where, you know, this kind of picture is fear, anxiety, like, oh man, you know, we all kind of recognize that. And that's the kind of bad news. But the good news is this second piece where it talks all about, you know, you have, that Joe read for us, you created our innermost being, you knit us together in our mother's rooms. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. God loves you not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. God loves you because of you have been knit together fearfully and wonderfully. And I've been exploring with some of these ideas of fearfully and wonderfully because it's one of those phrases that you just see in scripture and so you repeat. But I think about me as an artist, like those times where I've gone and tried to do the paint night thing and it's terrible, okay? And so I've done the paint night thing. And I hate the anxiety that comes along with painting because I am a fearful painter. I'm a fearful painter. I don't want to mess it up. And so I don't do it. But my daughter Eden is a fearful and wonderful creator, okay? She can craft and make stuff, and with every piece of glitter and sequin and creation, she will craft and create fearfully and wonderfully, knowing that she is crafting something that is of sacred worth. There is a huge difference, right? Because when you create just out of fear, there's something different there. Like, you just don't want to do it. But when we are created fearfully and wonderfully, she's done. She's done in the basement, and she will come up to present her gift like Mufasa presenting Simba up, and she's like, "Father, here it is." And of course, it's so sparkly that I'm like, everything the light touches is burning my retinas. Because there it is. And so we prominently display it then because it has been fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a huge difference. You know, they'll watch this Angry Birds show on Netflix, and there are some claymation bits with it. And I'll pause it every once in a while because the pigs are there. And then you might be able to see it from where you are. But from time to time, with a close-up on the pigs, you can see the fingerprints of the artists who shaped and made those claymations. Isn't that awesome? And so I'll stop it and be like, "Dude, look at that." And they're like, "Just play the show." But I'm like, "Ah, this is amazing." And how cool would it be, like, if I was one of those artists, I would, like, know my thumbprints by, you know, just in my mind to be like, "That one, see that thumbprint on his nose? That's me," right? But I wonder if that's the way that God looks at us and said, "Look at that. You're thinking that it's a weakness, and at the same time, I'm seeing my fingerprints all over your heart. I see those things that you are counting as stressors and weaknesses, and, you know, that your tender heart you see as a weakness, but I'm saying that that is exactly who I made you to be. You are not loved because of who you are. You are loved because of whose you are, and man, it is good." And so that second part of this psalm, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, essentially it's saying, God saying, "You do you because that's who you've been made to be." And in this third bit that's the smallest, this just two verses on verse 23 and 24 that we read, you know, here's where I think that David was a Methodist, is because it says, "You do you because you have been made to, you know, you do you because that's who you were made to be," but sometimes we have gotten off track and that we have veered from the path of who you really are. And so there are times where you need to start stripping off those calluses that life has placed on your heart, that you need to start tearing off those masks that you have to try to hide that unique self that I've made you to be. And so the prayer sometimes in these psalms are huge. "Examine me, God, look at my heart. Put me to the test." We don't like that part. "But put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look and see if there is any idolatrous way in me, and then lead me on the eternal path." Isn't that a good prayer? That's what John Wesley would say, is that we are moving on to perfection through sanctification. It's, "God, look at me, help me, and let me see these things that are not right in my life, that I know in my soul are misaligned with who I am, and then help me get back there." And it's not going to be some throw the 400-pound chicken into the Instapot for 5 minutes and boom, you have dinner, right? It is a long process. It is a painful process. And it's a process that opens us up to being vulnerable and hurt by other people. And so I'm going to pause here for a minute, okay? And here's my church hat on and saying, the church does really, really well at going, okay, so there's something wrong. And historically, the church has gone, no, you need to fix this, and points fingers, right? But the church is really great about getting people and getting us to open up and become vulnerable. And then when we do that, we absolutely dismantle and tear people down. And as a pastor, that breaks my heart. And as a pastor of this church, I know that that is who our call is to those people who have been hurt and broken by the church and say, no, come back, come back, come back, come back. And if you're vulnerable, I promise we can support you. Right? Is that the kind of church that we are? I pray that it is. I really do. Because this is the sacred work. Right? The church needs to be a cheerleader and a supporter of that self-identity and self-discovery rather than saying, no, I'm going to slam the door. No, the church needs to be somewhere where we go, no, come on, let's find out who you are together. Let's find out who we are together and holy hand-holding say, and if you fail, that's okay. Right? because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we know that we have a creator who can reshape and remold us and start to move us in that right direction. But together, we are going to look at that path of eternal life and say, how can we walk this together? Because it is really hard. It is really hard to drop the masks. It's really hard to take those calluses and open them up and talk about the shame and the pain and the suffering that we've had and go, here's who I am at my most raw. You know, for the Bishop family, going through our adoption process, we've had to learn some of this because the masks that we wear is that we have it all together, that the Bishop family can do it, and we can do it well. And then when we need to raise funds for our child, or we need other people to pray for us because people stole our money, or because there's been a setback, or because there's been new regulations, or because there's whatever, man, it's really hard for us to say, we can't do this alone. But when we've done that, when we've done that and found the support of a community who loves us so deeply that would support us even in the midst of all of that hardship, there is growth and there is self-identity saying, man, we can be the people that we've been created to be the people that we've been created to be in community with one another. You know, it's this idea of you do you because that's who you were made to be. And let's get back to that heart. And so what does this all mean? Last week I had the opportunity to preach at my home church where I grew up. The prompt was, preach your best sermon. Okay. Preach your best sermon. And I said, I don't have any good ones, so we're just going to have to try something new. But I really, thought that, the idea is that each and every one of us has our best sermon and our best witness for other people and sharing the gospel and being most fully us, most fully the people who we were going to be. And so last week, I got a lot of feedback that Cindy killed it with her story. And a lot, yeah, right? She killed it. And part of it was that she was willing to be vulnerable and open up. And even if you are not someone who grew up and have the same exact circumstances that she does, I guarantee that if you were in this place at that time, you heard something that you go, her story connects with my story in this way, right? Because she was willing to take down those masks and say, God, I'm going to offer up myself last week. Killed it, Cindy. Okay? But the thing is that when we have this way of thinking that we need to be someone else, if The Rock thinks that he needs to be Taylor Swift and he is the next greatest thing to pop music, it is not going to work, right? We are called to be imitators of Christ, not impersonators or imposters of other people. And so today, think about that. There are times where I think, man, I wish I could play guitar like Ben. Whew. Right? Definitely not singing because that is just out of the... Or I'll go to somebody's house, one of your guys' houses, where Mike's done some work, and I'll look at the exquisite work that Mike has done, like on a railing, a banister, or a kitchen, or a bathroom, or whatever, and I go, gosh, that would take me maybe 3.5 years, and Mike can knock that out in an afternoon. Man, I wish I could do that type of stuff. I wish I could, physical therapy was one of my things that I thought that I was going to be a physical therapist when I got older back in the day. It was either that or be a trash collector, according to my middle school job aptitude tests. They correlate, apparently. Right, Cindy? Yeah. And so I look at what Cindy does, and I think, man, that would be great. That would be wonderful. But then I think, but those connections that I have, the times that are so sacred to me of baptizing and marrying people, of sharing the gospel and the good news in Jesus with kids, from the high school while we're running, or helping change tires with people and the teammates coming around saying, Coach, why are we doing this? I would miss out on that, right? And I wouldn't be as good at any of those things because I wouldn't be doing me. And so this week, I want you to think about how you can do you, because that's who you have been made to be. As we close today, we're going to sing one final song. And as an act of offering, as an act of worship, I want you to take those, either a next step sheet that you've written on or those masks. And while we sing, I want you to come up and just lay them here as kind of an act of closing prayer. Make sense? All right, let's have a word of prayer and then the band's going to sing. God of grace, we just give you thanks for this day, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that your handprints, that your fingerprints are all over us, and you look sometimes at our weaknesses and you call them strengths. And so, God, allow us to be called to you, to be imitators of Christ rather than imposters of others. God, take this song as our offering today. Amen. Let's stand and sing.